Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of something sleeping monster. Wow, I nailed it. Yeah, welcome back. Part two, everyone. You've got Carmen and Kelsey, the Wonder Twins, the dynamic duo, the coolest people you'll ever meet in your whole life. We're here doing the thing. Part two.
I'm having the worst podcast snack of all time, which is kettle corn, but it's so yummy.
Yeah, this sparked a little bit of division between us, because I think kettle corn is nasty ass shit. So
have you ever had it fresh, or have you only had it microwave popped kettle corn?
I've had both. Although, you know, here's the funny thing. Kettle corn is shit, but once you put it into a ball and you put it in a bag for Halloween, that shit's good as fuck.
I just think you're not having good kettle corn, because you would like this. This is just tasty.
I like the salty corn.
But this is both
corn. Nah, I don't know. I don't think kettle's very salty. Kettle's more sweetie.
Yeah, but it's also salty.
Well, anyways.
Well, we're gonna start this episode with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Chondaland.
Living in Chondaland! And this episode of Living in Chondaland is brought to you by three different entities. The first entity, the most important entity, is Carmen and Kelsey. We bring you this podcast week in and week out, mostly, because we care and love you and love Grays and we love seeing each other and we love just bantering for 2 hours. So, if you love that back, consider joining our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Grays Academy and you get into our Discord. Get into those chats. Start listening to that extra stanky, hot, sexual content. Minus the sexual part and minus the stanky part. Just the hot content. Mm-hmm. Get into our Discord chats. There's a ton of chats. The one that always makes me both mad and proud is the Carmen Free chat. Is so popular. It's funny whenever someone comes in and the first thing they say is, how do I get into that Carmen Free chat? Okay, yep. Go fuck yourself in the best way possible. And definitely go follow our socials. Go to Grey's Academy Pod on Instagram so you stay up to date with the most recent stuff. And if we have any delays in our episode, that's where you do it. Make sure that you hit that like, 5-star, hit that review button wherever you listen. Add a comment if you're on Spotify. It definitely helps the algorithm as well. For the personal stuff, go to @carmen.gabriel.official. That's for me. Go to @chaoticallykelsey. That's for her. And then also the second thing that's brought, that's bringing this podcast is our friends over at Shure for providing us microphones and in-ear monitors. Goes a really long way. We really appreciate all of the hard work that you do to create amazing products that we know and love. And then third, this episode of Living in Chondaland is brought to you by some Pokemon cards, a motherfucker.
Yay!
So I think I have 3 packs here. Maybe we'll do 2, but I'll let you pick those after we do Living in Chondaland.
Oh my God, so exciting.
I know. How many do we got, Kelsey?
3.
Al.
No.
Fuck you.
Oh. I already told you what he's in. He's in Friends.
Yeah, but I'd assumed he was also in something else, Chondaland. Okay. The interviewer guy who's interviewing Bailey.
No.
What?
Yeah.
Tony?
No.
Frankie?
No.
The grandma?
No.
Okay, I'm done. I'm not doing any more guessing.
Yeah, there's a lot. Mr. Lepic, Seth's dad. Gunner.
Oh, okay.
The weird friend, quote unquote.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious?
And then the mom that Alex and Christina and Jason have later on. Lots of people in this one.
a lot of people in this episode. I'm so annoyed.
Okay.
But you know what? It's okay.
Yeah. So the first one is Stephen M. Gagnon. Incredible name.
Gagnon. Or maybe it's French. Gagnon.
Perchance. He played Mr. Lepic. He was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. Anton Narinsky played Gunner. He was in one episode of Station 19. And Idara Victor played Amelie Ward, the mom, and she's in one episode of Private Practice. So,
that's okay,
Shaun DeLand.
Awesome. So let's rip some Pokemon cards, huh? So I've got two different kinds of packs. I've got one Twilight Masquerade. We're going to open up that one here in a second. But I've got two Paradox Rifts. Which one do you want me to open up?
Paradox. The one with the green guy on the front.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You want to do Paradox Rift first or Twilight Masquerade first?
Twilight.
Twilight Masquerade. Let's do this. All right. This is, I don't know how long we can keep doing this because it obviously depends on the ability for me to obtain Pokemon cards and then hold on to the cards long enough so that they exist going into this episode. So we're going to keep doing it as long as we can. All right. Here we go. What do we got here, Kelsey?
That is an orange lizard that is screaming. Oh, wait, no, that's okay, a crab.
That's a crab. This is Corphish.
This one here is a cat swinging through the jungle.
Okay.
Monkey. It's a monkey.
Named Grookey. Grookey.
Grookey. Oh my god, that is so cute. I don't know what it is, but it's so cute. Oh my god.
Helioptile. Helioptile.
Oh my god, this one's also so cute. It's a little narwhal.
It is Finesin? Finesin?
Oh my god.
You can thank the Finesin for that.
The cutest thing in the world. That is a ball of fire. That is also a fish.
Yeah. Chiyu?
This is a lucky helmet. Because it says lucky helmet.
Oh, it says lucky helmet, yeah.
That is some kind of crazy wolf guy.
This is Mightyena? Mightyena?
Ooh, this looks like some kind of stallion on fire.
Let's see what we got here. This is Scolipede.
And a dolphin.
Another dolphin. Okay. Let's see. This is Palafin. So that other one evolved.
Ooh, that one's like a mermaid cat lady. This looks like that's energy. That one looked like if the thing from the Neverending Story was a Pokemon.
Oh yeah, it does. It does look a little bit like that. Yeah. So disappointing. Disappointing pack.
Okay, let's do the episode and then we'll do the last one when we rank it.
Okay, I love it. Let's do it. Okay. So let's before we get into the full Bailey thing, or should we start there or talk about Alex and Jason and Christina's C-section baby?
Let's talk about Miranda first.
All right. Where do you want to start with this one? Or give us the recap.
So again, last episode, we get three former patients come back with post-op infections that we find out in this episode are staph infections. All of them were Bailey's patients. So they kind of were like, oh shit, like has Miranda done something wrong? So they are investigating. They've called the CDC. The CDC is investigating. The CDC is testing everyone, sticking Q-tips in noses. The CDC is swabbing the ORs, swabbing everything. And they have locked Bailey out of her charts. They're like, you're not allowed to see any patients. You're not allowed to talk to anybody. Everyone's mad at Jackson. It's not really his fault.
Again, for no reason. Yeah. It seems like the proper protocol is being followed, actually.
They seem to think that it's him not, like, standing by Bailey, but I don't necessarily think that's the case yet. But I do think he's ready to not stand by her, which I do not love. But I don't think him calling the CDC is that. If that makes sense. So,
yeah, CDC's total sense, there for sure.
The man is like questioning her and having her go back through and like recite all of these surgeries to him. She's getting them confused because they're like identical. And he even says, "Did you scrub?" What the fuck kind of question is that from Miranda Bailey? Did you scrub? No, I didn't scrub. I just stuck my hand in my butt and then I did surgery. Like, what the hell?
Hey, that's a Carmen move if I ever heard one. You know, it's funny. She gives us a little bit of insight where mm-hmm. the protocol is 4 minutes, but she does it for 4 minutes and 16 seconds, I think, because that's doing the song Think by Aretha Franklin twice in her mm-hmm. head, which I love.
Yeah. So she scrubs the appropriate amount of time plus extra. And then he's like, "Did you do this? Did you do this? What about this?" And then she says, "Did you put the cap on the toothpaste? Do you know? Or did you just do it because you always do it, but you don't actually remember doing it?"
Yeah, I actually kind of like his response here. He's like, well, yeah. He's like, "This isn't toothpaste, Dr. Bailey. This is a human life." So,
yeah, but her response is also very good. She's like, "You don't think that I know that?" Like, of all people, like,
yeah.
She's like, "I care about that more than you care about that. So fuck all the way off, sir."
Yeah, for real. And he does not fuck all the way off.
Unfortunately, no, he does not. He continues to fuck on. So, also Leah like sprints out of the room because she had to get questioned first, and she like goes out of the room and Miranda tries to talk to her and she's like, "I'm not allowed to talk to you." She just like sprints so awkwardly out of that room. It is bizarre to me.
Like Bailey has the plague, not just staff.
So yes, they do identify that Miranda has the same strain of fast staph infection that all the patients have. And she's like convinced that it's the graft they were using or something in the OR, but they tested all that and it's not that, it's her. They have to figure out if she's the carrier, well, still, how did it get to the patients? Because she's scrubbing. She's not, you know, hawking a loogie into her patients.
At least not that we see.
Right. Based on what we know. So, essentially, there's a lot of back and forth. The interviews are, she's very upset. She really just wants to know how Seth is doing. So she goes to try and check on him. And unfortunately, at the worst possible time, because he's doing bad and his parents want to move him. And Dr. Weber is like, you know, "There's nothing wrong with the hospital. It was just one doctor. And like, she's been contained. So you don't need to worry about it. Just let me operate on your son," which he just said to get them to let him operate. But Miranda overhears it, of course, and thinks that he like is throwing her under the bus and thinks that he believes it and thinks that she's at fault. And so she runs away, and then he immediately like tells Leah, "No, Dr. Bailey is not at fault, and don't ever fucking repeat what I just said or I'll have you fired before you finish talking." And so
that
then,
was awesome.
Yeah.
I wish Bailey saw that.
I know. If only.
The writers wouldn't give it to us. They wouldn't give us that one.
She's very upset, rightfully so, because this is like her mentor, her bestie. And so she goes back. They go to tell the findings to the board. And
well, even before that, she goes back and she finishes the interview.
Yeah.
And she keeps pushing. And she says, "You have my results. Do I have the strain?" He never even confirms it.
Yeah.
She's like, "I have it." And then it cuts to black.
He doesn't deny it.
It's intense.
He kind of
lets her come to the conclusion by herself.
Then, yeah, they go to tell the board their findings, and they're like, "Miranda does have this staph infection. However, you were using these gloves and these gloves are ass. Who was using the gloves? Who ordered the gloves? Owen ordered the gloves. It's always Owen.
Bum, bum, bum.
All roads we should sue lead him again. Owen.
You know how quick he was so quick to say, yeah, that was a Pegasus thing. Those assholes. Am I right, guys?
Yep. And so they like are doing this test with the gloves and all this water is just like coming out of them. I'm like, damn, those are some cheap ass fucking gloves. And so they are like, Miranda can be reinstated after she's treated for this, you know, strain of staph, and then it'll be fine. We'll go. Bye bye. Thanks for your cooperation.
And, you know, I'm wondering, so staph infections are, you really don't see them. Do hospitals not have like regular testing for staph infections? That's kind of where like I'm curious.
I mean, I think it's, I don't really know how they're spread. I don't really know. Like, I mean, to my understanding, I would think that a hospital is a little bit of just like a cesspool for staph infections.
Yep, yep, yep.
I think it's a pretty common thing that people, you know, get them there.
But so, I guess my follow-up question then would be, if Bailey, even if Bailey did have a staph infection, and she did nothing wrong, they can't hold her accountable to just being sick if she didn't even know. Because a lot of times there's not even symptoms to staph infections. Right. You're just a carrier of staph.
Yeah, I have no idea how staph infections work, truly. Unfortunately.
If you're a doctor.
This is also, they say like this is specific, is like, this specific strain is like resistant to antibodies as well, which is part of the issue, I'm sure. Because they like can't treat it. So, you know, they say essentially like it's not her fault, but I think she thinks it is her fault.
Well, yeah, of course she's going to take it as her fault.
Because
no matter what happened, she was good. It was her patient. She was going to take the internalize the blame herself, regardless. Yeah.
So then, you know, Richard goes out to try and talk to her later, and he's like, "It's not your fault." And oh man, does she tear him a new asshole?
Mm-hmm.
She is bringing up every. Let me find it because it is too much.
Yeah, get the receipts. It's like actually almost made me think, damn, Miranda, like you're kind of mean, like really.
Yeah, she does not hold
back. This has been traumatic for her. I get it.
She knows what to say to hurt this man because she has been hurt by this man in a way she never ever would have thought that she would be. So she is upset.
Unintentionally and actually not malicious, I think we should add.
Yes. So he tells her that Seth died. And she, like, is crying, and he goes to try and comfort her. And she says, no, now you want to help me? Where were you when my patient was alive when I could have helped him? You shut me out. You left me. And he says, I was trying to protect you. No, it's the hospital. You were trying to protect the hospital. It's all that matters to you. And I don't know why I'm surprised. Adele complained about that every time I saw her. I protected you. I made excuses to her for you. I stood by you. No, you were a drunk. You were operating on your patients drunk, and I stood by you. I expected the same from you. I deserved it. I earned it. But all you cared about, no, you are not who I thought you were. Brutal.
That is a damn with a capital T, dude.
Yeah.
And it sucks because Weber he's always been steadfast in supporting her, being on her side. You know, even not as the chief, he's like, I believe in you. Like, I want to be like I want to give you everything that I have. And he's helped her on a personal level, like navigate through for the forgiveness with Meredith post trial and post the hospital thing and like all these things that were going on. Weber
even
was there
when they
to
saw
help
the flashback
her back to
of like her being an intern. He was like already mentoring her then. So
yeah.
It's hard. I understand why she's upset. I just wish she would give the benefit of the doubt to the man.
Well, also, you don't even have to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe let's not go to the jugular or even invoke the name of his dead wife with Alzheimer's. Like, let's maybe just let dead dogs lie, you know, so to say. You can be like, dude, how the fuck were you going to say that this was me and throw me under the bus to your patient in front of Leah? You could have said that. Well, within your right.
Yep.
And then all the other stuff kind of is
saying that.
Yeah. Everything else kind of just feels mean.
Intentionally, in a big way. How can I cause this person emotional harm?
Yeah.
Rapidly and repeatedly. So that's a bummer.
It's,
I mean, what did you think that she, no, I, last week your prediction was that she was not going to be the cause.
So I still, I mean, I think I'm right. She wasn't the cause.
I think you're right and wrong. I think truly it's both. I'm not just saying like, that because of, I like to harass you. I think like she is.
She's the source of the staph infection.
But it's not her fault. Like the shitty gloves are the reason, but she is the carrier.
And I think the interview guy even says, like, if she would have had proper gloves, none of this would have been an issue. Like, if we didn't have these faulty, defective, microscopic tears in these gloves, it would have been okay. So, yeah, I really didn't think it was going to be anything at all relating to Bailey, but once they were going down the route of the staph infection, I was like, okay, this makes sense, especially because, like, staph infections are pretty common. You can be a carrier and not even know it. It can be symptom-free. So a lot of those things made sense for the storyline. I was hoping it was just the grafts, and she kept going back to that. Like, it could have just been a very easy thing to say, like, it's nobody's fault. It was the grafts.
Yeah.
They didn't. They did put a face to it. And obviously, we have to now deal with the emotional fallout of that, the emotional fighting with Weber now, etc. So, but honestly, like, good. I think as viewers, are so accustomed to Bailey kind of being this infallible person. Like, she really doesn't do anything wrong. She does things where we're like, yo, dude, you're kind of being an asshole right now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I even think about that one scene where Owen said no to the genome mapping thing, and then she was like, my best recommendation for you is to go to another fucking hospital, dude, because this hospital sucks dick, and they don't give a shit about their patients, right?
For Bailey.
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know how they get these things through onto, you know, cable television, but it's fine. But we've never been in a situation where Bailey's truly, truly been at fault for something that we've seen that I can remember. Mm-hmm. And again, like, she didn't put the tears in the gloves, which are ultimately determined to be the issue. But I think it's actually good writing to have her be the person who was sick during that. Especially after the initial misdirect of Leah being the one who was sick.
Right.
And Bailey was prepared to write Leah off for being sick at work. And, you know, it's very good writing. It's just good writing.
Yeah. I mean, so what do you think moving forward? Like, what do you think that's going to look like for Miranda in her journey?
I really don't know that much is going to change. Maybe she will have a little bit more empathy towards the interns in general, but I'm really curious to see what her and Weber's relationship is going to look like moving forward. Because, like, how do you come back from that? How do you come back from, again, bringing up a man's dead wife? Like, that's tough to come back from.
Yeah. And basically being like, every time I saw her, she was bitching about you because you're the worst person. You're a bad husband and a bad mentor.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, just like really just twist the knife and salt the wound and salt the wound and twist the knife.
Amazing. So there's a couple other things in that storyline that I want to call out. So No, Jess just dropped something upstairs. While all of this is going on and Bailey's out getting her like fresh air break, she's in the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And Meredith goes and she sits down next to her and she kind of starts to like sneak Seth Lepick's file to her. And Jackson is on it like a hawk. He's like, yo, Meredith, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Mm-hmm. Breaking protocol? Shit. So, And all while that's happening, Ethan's watching his mom. It looks like she was seizing, but I guess she was hemorrhaging and coding at the same time.
She was seizing, but I think it was because of the hemorrhage that she sees.
Okay. So, like, that's happening. Bailey's like, I'm a doctor. I'm first on scene. Jackson says, no, protocol. And also, Bailey should know this because she read the entire protocol manual as, like, light reading one evening.
So this actually, I'm glad you brought that up because someone in Discord had mentioned it's so fucked up that they make this Bailey and they make it the gloves that Pegasus implemented because she was the one that was like, are we sticking with these? You need to fix everything and make it go back.
Wait, the gloves?
Well, just the Pegasus protocols in general.
Okay, yeah.
She was like, are we sticking with this up, or are we like, I was like, oof, that's a dagger.
Yeah. But again, Owen gets all the blame when a plane crashes, but well, none of the blame when it.
If you're Owen, you have built up no good rapport with me. And so I have no desire to support you or your terrible choices or forgiveness. Versus if you're Miranda Bailey and you're an angel and God's gift to this hospital, I want to do the forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thought on it.
Yes. So anyways, all that's fucked up. So the other thing when they're in the room
where
it happens and the sausage is being made for the first time.
Right.
The interview guy starts telling them what's going on. Bailey walks in and she's like, well, I want to be here. And Jackson said, no, dude, fucking protocols. And Meredith says, we need a vote. We need a vote right now. Everyone in favor of saying the opposite of what Jackson said and letting Bailey listen. And they all put their hands up.
I will say don't mind letting her stay because it's like they're going to tell her what the results are.
I'd have no problem with her staying. I have a problem with every time someone in that
I don't
group
think
doesn't like what Jackson
up
says.
On Jackson, but I also disagree with him.
No, it's not.
Here.
No, yeah, totally. I don't agree with him. But I'm like, guys, can we just the ganging up thing? It's like it's so. It's juvenile. Just not good. Like, yeah, it's so juvenile. So, anyways, that was just another call out for that whole storyline. I do think going back to the beginning, it's worth mentioning that Jackson, I think overall was right about the whole CDC handling piece.
Mm-hmm.
And we should give credit where credit is due. Even though it all worked out fine, I think it would have been more fine and saved maybe some stress on Callie and Arizona's part if they just listened to him in the beginning.
Also, my thing is, I'm like, it's good now they know that because, you know, goodness knows what else could have happened, like other things that could be transmitted through those gloves had they kept using them. So at least like now they've moved away from this faulty thing that could cause more damage. So maybe everyone can just fucking apologize to Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And I think honestly, Bailey deserves a couple apologies too.
Yeah.
Not as many as Jackson in this scenario, but like, you know.
Yeah. Well, okay. Was there anything else on the... I know that was kind of like the main meat of this episode, as it were.
Yeah. I don't think I have any other points that, like, I took a note on. I do want to say, if this is how they go through and do, like, most CDC investigations and like getting to the bottom of things. I don't know how they would have thought, let's put some water in the gloves and see what happens. Like, okay. But I'm glad they did. Yeah. And, you know, great. If that's the moral of what I'm saying is, let's keep funding the CDC and let's and have science. People who know these things and science mm-hmm. In charge of these decisions.
Yeah, it need not be partisan.
Need not be partisan. Let's have some nonpartisan capitalism. What do you say?
If only.
We'll be right back. And I'm going to throw a name out there. Burger King. I hope you get a Burger King ad, people. Let me know if you do. We'll be right back, Burger King. I mean, friends. And we are back. Home of the Whopper. Thank you.
I hope someone
got allowed
one.
To say Whopper?
Why What's would that? You not? Why would you not be allowed to say Whopper?
I don't know. It's like copyrighted, trademarked.
You. That doesn't mean you can't say it.
Mm.
This means you can't sell it.
Ah. I do like Burger King. I'm a fan.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. So I think the last storyline we have is the Alec. Well, we kind of have Derek and Meredith medium. Like Meredith wants Christina in the room when she has the baby. And Christina does not want to do it because she's like, I don't want to see you poop on the table, because most people poop on the table when they give birth. And so there's a lot of back and forth. And she does want Christina there. And then she goes back and forth. She's like, fine, I'll do it. And I like that for the most part. Didn't like Owen telling her she had to do it, just because I don't like Owen telling her she has to do anything. And also probably because there's part of me that thinks that he thinks, oh, once she sees Meredith give birth, she'll want to have my child.
Yeah, maybe.
Because his brain is flawed, and I feel like that's just how it works.
He also says watching a woman give birth is like seeing God face to face. I guess I can't speak on from experience, because Jess ended up having a C-section, so not a vaginal birth. So I'm just so you all know, I have no desire to just go YouTube search vaginal births. So if that means I never see God face to face, I think I'm okay.
Let me just say multiple things. I think you could still consider like still being a baby pulled out of a woman, which is still pretty insane.
I didn't watch the baby come out of
they
did the C-section.
They just told you when to come.
I did ask. I was prepared.
Yeah, I think just the concept of pregnancy in general is pretty wild, that you can just grow another human being in your body. Michael originally said he didn't want to watch the baby come out. And then all three times he could not watch, because he can't look away when it's weird. Like, even when he like gets blood taken, he's like, eyeballs at the needle, like he like has
to watch.
Oh yeah,
I don't watch that. I look away.
He's very intrigued by that stuff. So he did watch all three times, and the first time he was like, he goes, "That was amazing," but when people say it's beautiful, they're lying. He's like, "It's incredible, but it is not beautiful." Which, to me, tracks. Then with the most recent one, the doctor was, I don't know if I said this on the podcast, she was like younger, she's closer to our age, she's really cool, she's really fun. Afterwards, they have to also like get your placenta and everything out. And she was like, do you want to see your placenta? And I thought about it for, I don't know, possibly 3 seconds. I was like, no, I think I'm okay. And then she's like, okay. And Michael goes, can I see it? And so he like goes over to the table with the bowl on it, and she's like picks it up, and she's like, this is what the baby was in. And she's like, do you want to poke it? And he's like, yeah. And so they're just like poking things that were inside of my uterus. It's wild.
The miracle of childbirth.
It was wild.
Knows no bounds. I would have too. I would have poked too, probably.
Yeah, I was fine not to. I was like, this is fine. And you know what? Some people, they get the placenta and they encapsulate it encapsulate it. They put it in capsules and they consume it like a vitamin.
Whoa! No, they don't. No way.
That is a pretty common thing.
What kind of fucking RFK bullshit is that?
You know, it's just something people feel strongly about.
Okay, listen.
Some people just eat it raw, which is way more alarming to me.
I don't want to say no judgment.
A belief that there's like good nutrients in it for the baby.
Okay.
You don't have to do it.
I guess I'm ignorant. I'm ignorant on this. I've never heard that before. If you've done that and you're a little bit upset at how alarmed I was, I'm gonna walk it back a little bit. I've never heard of this before. So
there are businesses that you send your placenta to and they put it in little capsules so you can take it like a pill.
I've heard of like you can like bronze umbilical cords and placentas. Like
you can also people. There are really some people that like bury their placentas and like plant a tree on it. And they're like, this is my baby's tree.
I've heard that. Ingesting. I don't know. I'm not going to shame anyone. I take it all back. It shocked me. Okay. This is shock.
That's fair.
It was more shock, not judgment. Okay.
Yep.
That's all.
Okay. So,
Not for me.
That's fine.
Any placentas coming out of me can stay in bio waste.
At the end of the day, Christina does agree to be in the room with Meredith. Christina and Alex are on that case with Jason Myers, but Alex continues to call him Chess Peckwell, which is very funny to his face. And
that scene. That first one where they're together, mm-hmm. and they're trying to convince Christina's trying to convince them to do a surgery at the cath lab, I think, mm-hmm. the C-section yeah. in the cath lab, and then go like take the baby right away. And she's like convincing him to do it. And he says no at first. And
yeah.
Christina goes, back me up on this, Karev. And when he says, I'm with Peckwell, and he says, that's not my name, but okay, I actually audibly laughed.
And then, at the end of it.
Yeah, the other one. You get the other one.
At the end of it, Christina, you know, gets Jason to come around to it. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And she goes, what do you say, Karev? Are you with Peckwell? And he goes, my name is Jason Myers. And she says, no one cares. To his face. Yeah. Just says
to
it.
To his face.
So funny. So
honestly, no one cares, dude. No one cares. So true.
Joe, for some reason, cares. But also, like, okay, so Joe tells Alex to be nice to Jason because they're going to be in surgery together. And then she tells him that she's moving in with him. And he doesn't support it. He's like, you don't know him well enough. I think he's a douchebag. I don't want you to move in with him. But I'll be nice to him. And, you know, then Jason like try kind of thanks Alex for his work with the patient that day and like, you know, we did it, you know, good job, whatever. I think we got off on the wrong foot because of Joe, but like, yeah, I appreciate you. And he's like, Joe and I are friends. Like, you know, we had similar childhoods. Hers was way worse than mine, but I just want to make sure she's happy. You know, I just think she deserves to be happy after everything she's been through, all this stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah, cool. Okay, thanks. And then, so I think no fault to Alex. Because if you tell me you're moving in with your significant other, my assumption is that they know about your past.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. That was the exact point that I was going to make. If anyone else other than Alex would know about Joe's real life, mm-hmm. it would be fucking Peckington Bear over here. Like, what are we doing?
That she's about to move in with. Like, it's not, oh, they've been on a couple of dates. Like, if you're serious enough that you're like, I'm going to move in with this person, I don't think he's wrong to assume that she has shared that part of her life with him. Right. I think it's weird that she then goes and she's like, I don't tell anybody about that. Why? How would he know that? And he says, you told me, and she's like, yeah, it's a secret. Okay, but you have to tell people if it's a secret. I'll keep a secret.
Right.
I probably won't, but you have to tell me it's a secret.
Yeah. Yeah. It's That was a hard scene. I actually have a lot of feelings about this, mostly around what the point was that you just said. If you're gonna hide any part of your life with someone and then you move in with them, that's the red, you are the red flag. Yeah. Like, we should all be clear on this. They're not the red flag, you are. And also, I actually, it's so frustrating because it was a really cool moment for Alex.
Yeah.
He's like, he didn't say anything bad about Jason.
Mm-hmm. He was being genuine and vulnerable.
He said, I'm really like, what she's made out of her life is incredible. And I was just being protective of her. But like, I think that was Alex's way of saying, you're good. You have my blessing. Like, do your thing.
Maybe I'll learn your name.
So yeah. Yeah. So that was crazy. And then on the other half of that, mm-hmm. Alex goes into Christina's room and he's like sad, and
it's so cute.
She does the whole point to the pillow thing, and he's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And she's like, "Just come here, like, just let's go, dude."
And then he says, "This is weird," yeah. And she's like, "Give it a minute, it'll work." And then he's just so sad looking. He's like, "I can't believe I'm in love with her. You were right." Oh, he's so cute.
Yeah,
bless
and. Him. He said, what does he say? I always screw myself out of being happy and like,
yeah,
it's sad.
It is.
I just want what's best for Alex.
Yeah. And then Christina says, oh, I think I'm losing Owen. And I said, lose him faster for the love of all of us. So. Yeah, I liked the little end scene between the two of them. They're an underrated duo. We don't get them enough.
Seriously, we do not get them nearly enough. It is a bit ominous because after they're sharing their feelings, and so Joe gets mad, then it cuts to Alex being, you know, with Christina saying he loves Joe, and Christina's sad about Owen losing Owen. And then it ends with the line from Bailey, the monster's awake now and there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm like, that's so ominous. What fucking monster? What is happening?
Yeah. Worth noting that Miranda did the voiceover this week talking about, like, you know, infections and you can't see them. They're the secret, the sleeping monster. So. Yeah, it's bummer for Alex. He's sad because Joe's like, never talk to me again, which is, in my opinion, an overreaction.
Yeah, it's a bit harsh. It's a bit harsh at least. The baby does well, though. The baby that they work on does well.
So, yeah, the baby has like a heart thing. So they want to do, Christina's going to do this procedure in the cath lab to immediately solve it. But they do have like a very limited amount of time. They have to do it like within an hour of the baby's being born. So that's when she's like, let's do it in the cath lab. And then they say, no, let's not do it in the cath lab because we need all these tools. To which she says, are your tools glued to the floor? Bring them with you.
So
which
good.
Was funny
so
to me. Good. She automatically assumed Alex would be on her side, but he was not. And so she had to convince Jason and then Alex. When the patient panics, Meredith, Christina does end up talking her down and being like, you can do this. Like, you are doing what's right for your baby because, like, we are prepared to, like, we are in the best place we can be right now to do this and take care of him, like, as quickly as we need to do it. And so I think that patient also kind of helps her decision to be in the room with Meredith to be like, I will be the support person you need. So I thought that was a lovely moment, and fuck everyone who says that Christina is bad with patients.
Yeah, it was a really good scene when she did talk the woman down with the C-section, and I can imagine that specific situation where the baby's okay inside of her and it immediately is going to be not okay the second it's out of her would cause a lot of like mental stress that's got to create like that's like therapy that you should have a therapist on site to talk through that kind of trauma. But yeah, it's, I really like that. And, it obviously that procedure is the mechanism for Alex and Jason to work together on all of that. So, but there was that one scene where Alex is telling Christina that, Jason is in the like all set up in the cath lab, and Christina's like, oh, you love Joe, like she's your girlfriend, blah blah blah. And Alex is like, no, that's not the case, but like also I don't want to lose my friend. And Christina says, you should punch him, you should fight him, and go get your love of your life back. It's just funny.
She's on another level funny. This week, and I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. The writers did her justice in this episode for sure.
Okay. Anything else before we get into ratings and whatnot?
I think it's worth calling out how, yes, the situation with Seth was stressful. The dad was being an asshole to Weber. Mm-hmm. That's not okay. The whole Bailey thing, the finger removal family, we went through all that. I don't think there's anything else I needed to go through there. We talked about Jackson, Alex being mad, Christine in the elevator. The I'd go home because I'm his doctor, not his family. Mm-hmm. Truth bomb was really good. I think. Oh, and then there was that one scene with Christina. I don't know if we said it, and I just am not remembering it, but where Christina ultimately accepts being in the room. She says, I'll do it, whatever. And then Meredith's like, you know what's actually worse than seeing me poop is me knowing that you saw me poop. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, so you'll suffer more than me. That actually makes it okay. Yeah. Again, another zinger from Christina. Very funny. Don't know if you mentioned that, but if you did, I'm sorry.
There was one part that I wrote in Bailey's interview that I thought was kind of funny. And when she's like going over the surgery with Joyce, and she goes, then I closed and it went perfectly. And the guy goes, anything else you remember? She goes, I remember saying that went perfectly. That just gave me a chuckle.
That is funny. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Bailey, so I'm so glad that she's okay.
Yeah. So, okay, let's rate it. And then we'll open Pokemon cards. And then we'll do predictions.
Nice. Do we have any questions?
Yep. Thank you so much.
We'll do those first, let me rate this. I think I'm actually... This episode was good, but it wasn't, like, insane. I think, actually, I'm going to go, like, a 3.7.
Yeah, I was going to say 3.8. There was the moment that we didn't really talk on where there was, like, Weber trying to save Seth in surgery and Owen running up the stairs for Rachel and Christina doing their stuff all at once, and it was, like, cutting back and back.
Yeah,
and back.
Like a pretty intense montage. Very peak craze. For sure.
So we love that. But I would say, yeah, 3.8. I think it was good. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on, like, Ethan, we can move on.
Yeah.
So Owen, we can move on, but okay. Did Bailey's coworkers support her in the way they should have? Yes.
Yeah. I think everyone was doing what they could. She just doesn't know. They just couldn't share.
I think Jackson could have been more clear of, like, we're calling the CDC to investigate the situation. We have to, like, separate you just because you're the lead surgeon, but, like, we're going to assume until told otherwise that, like, you're not at fault. Like, I think he could have maybe just been more clear. Like, this isn't us attacking you. Like, this is just us following protocol.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have y'all experienced poop on the table during the delivery of your children? I have birthed three children. Me. To my knowledge, I pooped once, and it was the last one.
Ah, man.
But to my knowledge, also labor and delivery nurses always say, we will not tell you if you poop on the table.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah.
I do think it's pretty common, but it's like, But especially, I think it's more likely if you have an epidural, which I had all three times, because when you're pushing, they tell you to bear down like you're pooping. And then also you have an epidural, so you have literally no idea what you're doing. So it's like,
it's just whatever's coming out of your body.
It's just
going
to fall out of your butt.
Yeah.
Do either of you have stories about family activities gone wrong? Not to that level for sure.
Yeah, I don't have. There was one time at my grandparents' house on my mom's side where we were playing soccer in the backyard, and I was like, it was like maybe early high school or middle school, but like we were just joking around, and it was kind of wet outside, and my uncle slipped on the grass and fell. And like took me out, but like we were all injured. And I remember my dad like going off, being pissed off and yelling at him in front of everyone. And I'm like a kid. So like, whatever, what the fuck do I know? But yeah, you know, that sucked. And then, you know, just like everything involving my parents kind of just sucks, but
just no. Like my childhood, it's fine. Get there. Okay. What would your 4-minute scrub song be to sing in your head? I feel like I would go through musicals and like look at timestamps on musical songs, because you get a lot of those, I think, that are longer and it's a little more entertaining. I would be like, today we're going to be doing songs from Hamilton. Today we're going to be doing songs from Six. Today we're going to be doing songs from Rent. Like, just go through it.
Yeah, I think, like, I would probably have to be an Angels and Airwaves song, because most of those songs are a little bit longer. But they would
it
all
be
too long.
Would be a Gallery 81 song?
No. I feel like that's probably too... Is that too braggadocious to make my own song be my scrubbing song?
I mean, I feel like it's on brand.
No, you stop it. Get out of here. But like The Adventure even is a 5-minute song. There's like a lot of songs that I'm looking at here that are like,
I feel like it would have to also depend on the surgery. I'm like, long. What headspace do I need to be in for this surgery? You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's fair. Because, like, I just looked at Kiss and Tell is 4 minutes and 7 seconds. What if I'm singing it to myself too quickly? That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that song a lot.
Can you choose a Grey's character past or present and guess what their scrub song would be? That's a very good question, and I feel like I need to dedicate more time to thinking about it.
Yeah, that one needs way more thought, but George would be something... like a song from the Wiggles or some stupid shit.
Yeah, Izzy's singing Happy Birthday like 16 times to herself or some dumb shit. What will Weber need to do to earn Bailey's forgiveness?
I honestly don't think there's anything that he's going to need to do to earn it. I think she's just going to realize she was way out of pocket and just be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't think Weber's going to do anything. He's not going to shame her. He might give her some space. He might just probably still apologize to her regardless.
Yeah.
Because he cares about that relationship. But I think it's going to be more her coming to that conclusion of, wow, I was really bringing up some shit.
Yeah. Does Derek have a point? Should Meredith be taking such a risk when they don't know what caused the infection? I think they've probably tested those patients.
Yeah. I don't think that she's taking a risk on anything. If it was like you could get leprosy, maybe don't risk it. But I don't think she was risking it by just merely being on the cases.
Do you think Jackson is being a hard ass or just making the hard decisions? I think following protocol.
Yeah, just following protocol.
Was Alex too open in his response to Peck? Well, we kind of talked on that. Should he have assumed it would be a secret? Again, he didn't tell anyone else. She's about to move in with the man. I understand, like, I do understand her being like, don't air my shit out. But I think he would have kept it a secret if she had asked.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And also, she shouldn't have gone in so guns a-blazing.
Yeah.
We obviously we've seen Alex be a real asshole. This was not that. This was not that.
Are Matthew and April endgame?
No. Fucking Jackson and April are endgame, dude. Jackson and Matthew. I don't know.
Do you think the glove company had a history of faulty gloves, or was the CDC the first to discover it?
Probably both. They probably have a history of it, but this is the first one they've discovered, and I think it's going to go back and cause them to open up a lot of those cases.
I see. So they've been doing it, but this is the first time they've been caught.
Yes.
But do you think the glove company was aware that they were shitty?
No, I don't think the glove company, I don't think it was malicious.
Okay. All right. Do you want to open Pokemon cards?
Yeah, let's do one more pack and then we'll call it a day. Also, so let's do it. Let's do it. This will be fun. So this is Paradox Rift. See if we get anything good here. All right, here's one.
It's a purple monkey with fire tail.
Yeah.
What is its name?
Apom.
Okay, it was blurry where it was written, and it looked like it said air porn. That is a weird spider guy.
Yep, that's called Galvantula.
Oh, like tarantula, but galvanized. Oh my god, look at that cutie in the water. He's just a big guy in the ocean.
Yeah, that's Mantyke, little baby.
Oh
baby
my
guy.
God, what a cutie.
These cards really are very cute.
Oh, wait, that one's so cute. That is a vegetable.
It is a monkey as well.
Looks like a vegetable.
It's got a little vegetable, like broccoli head. It's called Pansage or Pansage.
Pansage.
Whatever you... Pansage. That's just... It's a CD.
That is a CD.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's pink. It's got three eyeballs. What is happening? It's like a rock with eyeball worms. What is that?
It's Wugtrio. The white thing you're seeing, are their noses or their mouths? I'm really not quite sure.
Oh, but not eyeballs.
Yeah. This is an Apple Watch.
Excuse me? Oh, it is. It's a commuter cuff. Sorry. That is a fire drum.
Fire drum. Earthen vessel. Throwback, original.
Oh, wait. He's the seahorse. Or sea. I got him a lot when I played that game for like a month.
And then this guy, I've never seen this guy before, but he's kind of cool.
Oh my gosh, his eyeball's so big. It's like a turtle head guy, alien.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting. Brute Bonnet? Never heard of him.
Mm. Intriguing. So, he's almost
cute. No good cards. Nothing really. But I've got one more pack I'll open after I get off the phone with you here. Off of the podcast here. Okay, predictions. Rapid fire.
Alex Joe is Peckwell.
Alex Joe Peckwell. Joe and Peckwell are going to break up because Jason's not going to like her upbringing for some reason. He's going to judge her for it. And Joe's going to realize that the only person that she could be with is the person who never judged her for it, but saw that she's so incredible for overcoming the things she overcame. Joe and Alex are endgame for me. Meredith, baby's still healthy. Baby's going to continue to be healthy. Long-term prediction, she's going to have the Alzheimer's gene, but not get Alzheimer's. Or the reason she leaves the show is because she has Alzheimer's. I predict that Owen and Christina will not be together, but I think finally when this storyline with Ethan dissolves and is done, Owen will be like, I've been so into it because I just, there's fatherly testosterone flowing through me, and I need to be a dad. So I'm breaking up with you for some reason, even though we're not together, which is good. Good for her. Matthew and April will end up getting married and save themselves, and his virginity will be saved for death. saving myself for divorce. And then we didn't even see Steph in this episode. We didn't see Heather. We didn't see Shane. None of them in this episode.
We saw Leah for like 5 seconds.
Yeah. So I really don't have any predictions for the interns right now. I predict that eventually Jackson's going to get sick and tired of getting voted on all the time. And he's going to be like, guys, you know what? No more fucking votes. Okay. I basically own this hospital. The fact that I'm even letting you guys have votes up until this point was you're welcome. Okay. And that's kind of an homage back to what Weber said the other day with his vote meaning a lot. So, and then also Weber prediction, he's going to propose to Catherine and they're going to get married.
Okay.
Is there anyone else that I missed?
I think those are the main guys. Okay.
Cool.
Cool. Good job. Well done. Proud of you. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please make sure you keep sharing us and tell all your friends and all your people. And go to graysacademypod.com and you can find all the links to all the things. And we just really appreciate you guys so much. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember,
no spoilies. Give me Pokemon cards. Next time you hear from me, I expect Pokemon cards. Just kidding. For real, though. We appreciate you all. Thank you for all your support. Keep listening. Keep sharing. Keep hitting that like, subscribe, follow button, 5-star review button. We will see you all in the next one.